World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh man, things are bubbling and boiling everywhere everywhere you look. Sorry, I'm not looking at you. I'm checking something over here on my screen. Oh, just so much to cover, so much to talk about. And I appreciate you being here. And I'm not, you know, I try not to be a sensationalist. That's the last thing that we need right now. But boy, oh boy, is the onion being peeled back. Let me ask you, let me just throw this out there. I hate to be a conspiracy theorist. Could somebody help me with this one? We just got back two astronauts that have been in orbit for 9 months, they tell us. Two astronauts that have been in orbit for 9 months. Can somebody tell me how we fed them? Are we to believe that when they left here 9 months ago, they took 9 months of food with them? Am I missing something here? Am I missing something? You mean to tell me they could lock you, me and Betty, man and a woman, lock me and Betty in a space station, whatever the heck that would be, and there would be 9 months of food there? I'm just telling you, I don't believe anything anymore. I just don't believe anything. I'm glad those people were back. I don't know what's going on. I don't know, man. So look, here's what we're doing today. I appreciate all of you. Appreciate you all being out there. And I juggle a lot of balls here. I want you to be honest. You can probably imagine this. Lord, just let the words of our lip, meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight today. A lot of people who want to, because there ain't many shows really like this. A lot of people want to come in. They want to promote events that are going on. And I'm all for it. I'm in their corner, man. I'm in their corner. But man, oh man, oh man. A lot of stuff's going on. So I want to start off this morning. I want to make you, Mel, if you could, pull up the Liberty Action Network thing. I'm going down through this calendar real quick. Then we're going to hear from Tom Dunn, and then we're going to hear from David Arthur. And so just staying with it. Strangeland. Now, look, today is the 19th. I'm not blaming anybody. How do we schedule two great events in Ohio at the same time? Tom Dunn's got a wonderful event, March 27. I'm going to have Tom in here in a second. March 27, 20 in Mansfield, Ohio. Just click on that, Spencer, if you could, real quickly. Click on it. Strange Land up in Mansfield, Ohio. And what? Are you kidding me, man? Mark Harrington, George Carneal, Mike Spalding, Coach Dave. I mean, this is a wonderful event. And they're trying to, of course, as you can imagine, it takes expenses. So if... folks, just be really, really good. Now, look, this is more of a, what would I call this? Spiritual warfare understanding type event, rather than culture, rather than what the Republicans are doing and what the Democrats are doing, and certainly not a whole lot of end times and this is lying. It's not one of those kind of things. These are guys who are actively involved in the culture fighting against the forces of darkness. And Tom's going to talk about that. I think he's in there. Tom's going to talk about that here in a second. But at the same time, another great event, Spencer, if you pull that one up, there's another great event. I'm going to try to be part of both of them because I'm scheduled to be part of them. The Stay Awake America Tour. This is just as good. And this is being held in Delaware, Ohio. And man, oh man, this is some good stuff too. Mikovits, Dr. Frank. Look at some of these folks who are going to be there speaking. Pastor Casper, Bernadette Smith, Ann Vandersteel, Craig Saw. This is going to rock. This is in Delaware, March 28th and 29th. The same time the other one's going on. Aloha, Brett. I thought he used to be Ohio, but he must change states. Anyway, folks, I'm just these things are both worthy of being that. And I just want to encourage you. Listen, support them if you can. If you can't go, support them. Because the people who are putting these together, I mean, they stick their neck out there. They have expenses and all that stuff. And then next week, I'm going to be in Wisconsin for the Wisconsin Christian News thing. So there's a lot going on, okay? A lot going on out there. And we would ask you to be able to support these. If you want to take somebody to open their eyes, either one of those conferences would be, I'm telling you. So I'll be back. I'm going to get Tom Dunn in here in a second. And I'm going to let Tom talk a little bit about what's going on at Strange Land, okay? I got so much I want to get after today. Tom, are you there, man?
I'm here, Coach. I'm here,
Tom,
Coach.
Come on, man. Make the pitch to us here, brother. What's going on there at Strange Land?
Hey, Coach. Thanks again for having me on. Good to see you. There's a lot of things going on at Strange Land. And, wow, I didn't know there was another event. This is my first time hearing about it. How many times do we have events? And people said, man, if I would have known about it, I would have been there. Yeah. And we're struggling over here as Christians trying to get the word out about our stuff. But we're doing an event next week. And, man, I tried to pack it full of many important training and teaching and equipping things as possible. Amen. So if you come to this event and you're early on Thursday, it's not the start of the conference yet, but we're going to do a training in Freedom Encounters at 5:00. Praise and worship after that. Then
hey,
Friday.
Tom, hang on a minute, Tom. For those who live in Mississippi, what's a freedom encounter?
A freedom encounter is when we walk somebody through a prayer of repentance to break curses. That's the easiest way to explain it, to break strongholds. And they get set free. And, man, I'm telling you what, are they happy afterwards?
Okay? Hey, Spencer, click on Tom's event up there on that screen if you could so people can see it, if you would.
Yeah, and if you can get on the website through theblack.com, I'll show you real quick. Yeah, and I don't know if that'll take you there or not. Yeah, hit that Strange Land slide right there. That'll take you to the page. And this shows you we've got 7 days and 21 hours till the event. You can get a ticket to the event or you can get streaming. Okay, that little camera icon will get you the streaming. So I wanted the schedule's right there, by the way, folks, hotel, all that stuff. It's in Mansfield, Ohio, at Freedom Ridge Church. But we've got, I tell you what, I'm excited about every one of these speakers, and we just packed it full of people that are, have something important to say. Our good friend Mark Harrington is going to be talking. These guys right here are from Ohio, Jason Spears and Christopher Dean. They've been doing this for years, and they have... they got a podcast, Operation Red Pill. They're going to be talking about how to break the satanic control matrix, okay? So let's scroll down a little bit here.
Hey, Tom,
and,
let me stop for just,
Patrick
let me stop for just
from
a second,
Ohio.
Tom.
Go ahead.
Tom, just a second. So if they buy streaming, Tom, and they can't watch it live, they'll be able to watch it later on. Is that right?
They'll have it forever as long as the webpage is up, okay. Yeah. So okay, you can cool. Get streaming and you can watch it later, yes.
Okay.
So, Patrick Nechin wrote a book called Nightmare in Holmes County. This guy's from Ohio. Coach, you're closing out the event on Saturday night. That people have you start a lot of events. I wanted you to finish this one off.
Right.
And George Carneal is speaking. He does an amazing job. So he's going to be up from Georgia. Just sharing his journey out of the LGBTQ+ lifestyle. I talked about Mark Harrington. There's one I want to show you guys in particular. So Landon from Save Them is going to be there, and he's going to give us up-to-date information on what's going on with child rescue and trafficking. He is, as far as I know, he's out of country now. He's on his way back, and he works in South Africa and America. Noel Kidd is going to be how to break satanic bondage. This is a pastor from Ohio. So go ahead and scroll down there if we
folks,
can.
Again, folks, this isn't cultural stuff. This is spiritual warfare stuff. Go ahead.
Yes. Kenny C. is going to be there talking about frequencies and all the stuff that Kenny C. does. So let's go down again. And Vicky Joy is going to be there talking about her book. So this is what I want to show you. This is Dr. Dawn Morton, and she's a friend of mine. For probably over 20 years, she's been in charge of the children's ministry at the church that I go to now. And she trains all the children's workers, and she's an expert at it, okay? Now, she's got all kinds of degrees. She is a professor at a seminary and all that stuff. But, Coach, she told me because of the policies this church has in place that they have stopped three predators from getting jobs working with kids.
Mm, oh, boy.
And she said most churches don't have any policies in place to protect children. So she's gonna talk about this and train churches. It could be a church, it could be a Christian school, it could be a campground, it could be whatever, on how to screen workers and how to look out for signs of abuse and how to report it. Okay, she's gonna do all that stuff.
The devil's coming to church, Tom. Hey, Tom, the devil's coming to church, brother.
Yes, yes, and the predators are looking for prey. So yeah. This talk is going to be very important, and I just want to highlight that for people, because over 50% of churches don't have anything in place to protect kids. They say, you know what? Well, we're just going to trust them. I know so-and-so. They're going to be all right. No, we can't trust them. I don't care. There are rules that we can put in place and things we can put in place to protect children. We have Dr. Mike Spaulding is going to be starting off the event. I'm telling you what, every one of these guys that are speaking, he's going to be talking about why revival tarries. And when he told me what he's going to be talking about last week, I got goosebumps. I'm like, you're kidding me. This is a great way to start off the conference. So here's another guy, Nathan Widener, and he's going to be telling his story, which is gut wrenching. I'm telling you what, I don't even want to get into it, but it's a powerful story about what happened to him. We're going to have a special message from Greg Reed, but also not on this list is Pastor Bill Dunphy is going to be there speaking on Saturday evening, and he's going to be giving his testimony. You guys heard it here on this program first, but wow, this man was in wrongfully imprisoned, and he was pardoned, and he's got a story to tell, and it's powerful. So, folks. I want to let you know about this conference. If you can't make it in person, the streaming is available, and it will be, it's going to be continue to be available. It's not just live for the conference, but it's going to be on the webpage once you get the link, and lots of information. If you're coming, pray for the conference, pray for the people, pray for the church. God is, we just want God to show up and show off, and we want people's lives to be changed. We want Christians to be equipped. We're not doing this for fun. It's not fun to do these conferences. So we want to do it for the glory of God.
If they can't attend it, Tom, they can get the live streaming. And even if they can't watch it live, they'll have access to watch it for 30 days or whatever.
It's forever. It's more than 30 days. It's going to be our streaming for our last conference is still up, and that was 2 years ago.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, Tom.
Thank you so much.
Tom, Tom, you know what? You're paddling a different river, brother, than what the average Christian is. And I just want you to know how much I appreciate what you do, brother. Thank you, brother. I don't even think the average pastor, the average guy running the ministry can even begin to understand the difficulties your ministry faces in trying to paddle down that river that nobody wants to go down there and look at. So I just want you to know how much I appreciate you. And I stand here in support of anything you are doing. And if you need anything at all from me or the people here, brother, you let us know. Okay, Tom?
Hey, brother, we are all in the trenches together. I love Coach Dave Live and all the people out there. And we just appreciate you so much. So glad to have you a part of the event. And you have my permission to come in and kick butt. So.
Thanks, man. I was going to do that anyway, but thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for the permission. All right, Tom. Thanks for joining us, brothers. Yep. So, folks, there it is, Strange Land. Put that in the chat so people can figure out how to register. Hey, listen. If you can't go, send the guy $20, will you? Come on, help him. Maybe you can't benefit from it, but many can. Hey, Tom, how much is the live streaming?
Good question. I don't know. It's $43.
folks, then you'll have it. And you can come on.
We got 14 good way to support speakers.
What he's doing. Okay. Just a good way to support what he's doing. We appreciate you, Tom.
God bless you, Coach.
RL, did you want to say something here, brother, before we let Tom go? Doesn't matter. RL's hands up. That's the only reason I ask. All right, buddy. Thanks, Tom. So listen, I went to Minnesota last week. And I have to tell you, it was the first time I'd traveled like that in, I don't know how long, because of COVID, right? And it was invigorating for me to get out and go again. And boy, I'm looking forward to doing it. Because again, I know, honey, Michelle's going to say, honey, you say the same thing over and over. The church won't teach. Everybody looking at me right now, your pastor ought to have a seminar with Tom Dunn. Every person, every church needs to understand what Tom Dunn knows. This stuff is so critical as the battle begins to rage even more and more and more. And now we see, come on now, now we see that the judges are trying to usurp the power of the presidency. I ain't never seen anything like it in my life. That some circuit judge, some district judge, thinks he can overrule an executive order of the president of the United States. It's pretty amazing the times in which we live. But and until we realize it's spiritual, until Satan realizes his time is short, till we're smart enough to understand that they're doing an all-out blitz, that this is really, really a crucial time in America. Right now, really a crucial time in America. We don't understand what's going on. Church doesn't understand what's going on. I hate to keep banging on the church, but isn't that where Christians gather? Don't Christians gather in the church? I think they do. So I'm going to shift gears on you. Excuse me. I'm going to bring in David Arthur. A lot of you know David Arthur from I Belong Amen. David is a former tranny, I hate to use that term, gay, whatever, I don't even know what you call it. And David was a great friend of this ministry. And then, I mean, I'll let him tell, he'll tell you the truth. He fell. But he's been restored. And I've met with David. And yeah, I'm mad as hell at him for switching sides on us for, I don't know, however long it was, 6 months, whatever it was. And Ronald Reagan says, trust but verify. And I've been very upfront with David. Welcome back. I love you, but I got my eye on you, dude. I got my eye on you. But the information that David Arthur has, having been in the middle of the gay agenda, the child networking, understanding all that, how that agenda works, is invaluable. So I've asked David, come on and talk to us a little bit today about that, about what really is the gay agenda. How would you recognize it? How does it operate? What the heck is going on? So David, welcome. Come on in here, brother. I'm just going to kind of sit back here for a minute and turn you loose and help us to see what's going on here, Dave. This is more than just Tommy and Billy living together and having a garden, isn't it, brother?
Absolutely. And so, you know, you asked me a few questions when I was in Ohio the last time, and you've even reiterated them on your show a few times, and I've thought about them too. And honestly, Coach, I don't think that my answers today would be much different than my answers to those two questions would have been 4 or 5 years ago. And the reason I say that is because my fall was great, right? And I know that I wouldn't have been oppressed or attacked in the magnitude that I was, completely overtaken mind, body, soul, had I not been on the right path at that time, right? Mm. So I know that. And so their first question was, what is homosexuality? And the deeper you go to understanding what homosexuality is, the greater the need to understand what intimacy is and just how much the desire for intimacy is a part of our God-given design or our very nature. This is how the homosexual agenda has played on us and tore us apart, emotionally invested thoughts and feelings. So if we understand that a boy needs a father, he needs a brother, his uncles, his grandpa, and men in his life. And the girls need mommy and auntie and grandma, and they need sisters and other women in their life, because this is intimacy. It's true intimacy. It's not sex. And it's a close familial.
Say that again, David. Say that again. By the
true
way,
guys, Spencer, intimacy is Spencer, not would you sex.
Pin him to the big screen, please. It's you're so, looking for intimacy, not sex.
It's not. And so sex isn't another level of intimacy, as some people say. Even though, you know, we go to the mall, what do we see? Intimate apparel. We're not wearing none of that stuff to have a close, familiar bond with our brother or sister. So this is the same sex desire for intimacy that we have naturally. It's a natural desire for same-sex intimacy, but it's been twisted by the enemy into a same-sex attraction. See, if David, the teachers...
Let me stop you a second, David. Because, folks, I want you to understand this. I was a football coach, right? And the reason we were successful as a football coach is because we built within that locker room a masculine love for one another, for their fellow man. If you were to go to talk for some of those guys who played football with us, they would still talk about that special time and that special bond that they had with their brothers. There's nothing wrong with that, is it, David? That's a natural urge to be like that. It's when it gets polluted and taken in the wrong direction.
Yeah, see, and we could take it even further. I remember Jared telling me years ago about the masculine intimacy that he had being in the military, right? How they had to have five or eight guys in one little tent, and how they had to get very close in the sleeping bag to a bed,
right?
For warmth, right? Yeah, exactly. And so intimacy is so intertwined with masculinity for men that it's that's a whole nother show or lesson, right? And so if we say if the teachers, the homosexual agenda, those are your teachers right now. If the teachers and the curriculum creators can tell your son that his same-sex desire for intimacy isn't anything but same-sex attraction, then intimacy wow. goes out the window, and then it becomes romantic and or sexual. And so if I had to say, and now I've been praying on this and thinking about this for weeks, but if I had to say, what is homosexuality in one word, I would say disobedience. That's what I would say, disobedience. And if we had to go more into depth, we'd say that it's a much broader warfare that's being waged on the natural family and on the church. And so in the flesh, it's just a stronghold. It's an addiction. It's a vice. It's a lust, a behavior of men and women that have mostly suffered traumatic perversions or abuse, mental, emotional, physical. And then if we look at the spiritually, right, it's bondage, fleshly lust, satisfying internal desires for intimacy. It's a legion of spiritual oppression.
Let me take it another direction, because I think this is important for people to understand. You watch a football game, a basketball game, a baseball game. When somebody makes a game-winning shot at the end of the game, what do all the players do? They all run and jump and hug each other, right?
Exactly.
Because that male intimacy is innate. It's inside of you, that oorah that men want to have with one another. And there ain't nothing wrong with it.
That's right. And we desire it so deeply that that when we experience it, we know that we want it again and again and again. And so like me, for example, my father took his life just before I was born. So no, I didn't have a father in my life. I didn't have male affirmation. I had two older brothers that were gone. I had my mother, my sister, my aunties, and all my girlfriends, right? Yeah. And that's what I had. So as I sought male affirmation, what I received was perversion. So men that were in my life and strangers took advantage of my desire for male intimacy, and I was molested. I was trafficked. I was abused. I was led astray. And we're not just talking, you know, like a neighbor. We're talking about a neighbor, my friend's father, a couple teachers. We're talking about a slew of men that were a part of this rainbow cult, a part of this agenda that actually lured me in and just they prayed on me, David, and they devoured me.
David, the predators know that you have this desire for male intimacy, right?
That's right. That's right. So, you know, I, guys, we could go so many different places, and I'm not a theologian, and I don't play one on TV, and Pastor Dale Socia would probably be much better at this than I am. But, you know, when I fell, and I think it's really important, because when I fell, I attacked five specific passages in the scripture. And what I did was I took the perceptions of those passages and I adopted them as my own. And I made arguments that the church uses these passages to combat homosexuality, and they don't combat homosexuality because they're out of context. And you know what? It doesn't even matter if that's true or not, Coach, because even without those five passages that the church uses so freely to combat homosexuality, we can do without them, because the scripture says, and it's very clear on some very precise things, one man, one woman becoming one flesh. So if the rib or the side was removed from the man to form woman, and it has to be returned to the man to become one flesh, then two ribs can't become one flesh. Two men, each missing that rib, cannot become one flesh. So that's gay marriage is out the door. It also talks about celibacy, right? Until one enters into marriage. Talks about monogamy once you've entered into marriage. And it also talks about the definition of marriage consistently as one man and one woman. Even Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, he talked about divorce as one man and one woman. And then he reiterated, because you know all the left will tell you that Jesus never talked about homosexuality or transgenderism. Of course he did. In Matthew chapter 19, he reiterates that God created them one man and one woman from the beginning. That's the way it should be. So he affirmed God's design in one lesson alone. So nowhere in the entirety of the scripture does it affirm homosexuality. Nowhere does it affirm same-sex marriage. Nowhere does it talk about your gender identity or sexual identity. All throughout scripture, all the men and women, the males and females in scripture, are undeniably defined and undeniably unconfused. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that's the agenda, right? Let's destroy scripture. We can destroy the natural family. David, we can destroy the church.
Yesterday on our show, I think it was yesterday, I said, basically, you can make the scripture say whatever you want to if you take it out of context.
That's right.
So and so there's a lot of that stuff's been going on. And so the American church has been infiltrated with the emotionalism of homosexuality. Of course we love the guy. Why would you not? You would say to somebody, David, we love you. We just don't love what you do. Well, that folks, come on. I say, oh, you rape little children. Well, we love you, but we just don't love what. No. There has to be lines drawn. So, David, Ray's got his hand. We'll let him come in here. David, here's where I want you to take us. What's the agenda? How does it operate? What do they do so that we can see and understand? How old are you, David?
I'm 52.
So God bless you that you're saved. I want to save the 12-year-old, folks. Are you anybody with me?
Amen.
I want to save the 12-year-old and the 13-year-old. David's a grown man. He's going to answer to God for whatever it is he's done. But there's 10-year-old and 11-year-old and 12-year-old kids who are gender confused, and the church sits around and doesn't know what the heck to do about it. So Ray, come on in, and then David, that's where I'd like you to take us. Come on in, Ray.
Okay. Okay, wouldn't unmute. David, I got a couple of minutes to talk to my LGBTQ people that are around here. What message can I give them that'll kind of draw them back, draw them into where we are at, why they need to forsake what they're in and what we have to offer them? How do you approach them? And you get a very limited amount of time to reach somebody. What would your approach be to reach out to these people?
Can they be reached, David?
Absolutely they can. And so what we have to remember is that because there's a huge, right, growing number of those that are involved in this cult, because now you can be heterosexual but identify as queer and all of these other things and these made up genders and made up sexualities. It's all propaganda, right, to further this cult. And so what we have to remember is that all of these individuals that are a part of this cult are victims of this cult. And I know that some of them,
they're angry, aren't they?
Exactly. And some of them make us mad as hell, right? Because they parade themselves with rainbow paint, body paints and feather boas, and they just openly talk about targeting children. And that makes a lot of people mad as hell, but they are still victims. And that's how I have to see them if I'm ever going to reach them. But what you have to understand is being a part of this cult is what determines their friends, their location of residence, their family dynamics, their political views, their thoughts, their feelings, where they shop, where they live, everything.
David,
because
David,
that's what cults do.
It says in Romans 1, David, I think it's Romans 1, about homosexuality. It says receiving in themselves the due punishment for that, yes, which was meaning they become that sin. That's who they are.
That's right. You know, I've said it for years. I didn't live a lie. I became the lie. And trust me, with the health and the physical ailments that come from being in that world, just from the wrong sex hormones alone, the clothes that aren't made for your body, the shoes, the sexual interactions, right, that you have that you're not supposed to be doing with your body anyway. There are many health, physical, mental effects that come from that. But to reach them, honestly, you have to just be the example. In word, deed, and action. And I'm not saying that we have to beat them over the head with scripture, because that's foolishness unto them, right? But I have watched the Lord touch so many people that were deceived and delusional by giving them a desire for something more. And how did they see that? Just in word, deed, and action. And all of the homosexuals and all of the trans-identified people that are coming out of those delusions and those bondages, coming out of that cult, they're all victims. And so what we really need is, as they start coming into the fold, we need them to start telling their story. Because what Revelation 12, it's my favorite verse, but... how did they get saved? They got saved from the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yeshua. And the word of their testimony. There's power in our testimony. We are called to be fishers of men. We catch them. He cleans them. It's that simple. And how do we catch them? We lure them with the bait, with our testimonies, with our words, our deeds, our actions. We just start establishing some type of relationships. And I'm not saying get in bed with them. I'm not saying lock arms with them on the front lines, because this is the danger that we see happening right now in the government. But I'm saying we have to establish relationships. They seek intimacy. And if we can establish relationships with them and give them word, deed, action, give them some intimacy without the expectation of crossing that line. Because let me tell you something, Coach. I remember it so well to this day, that every time I came together with a man, there was a spark, or a sliver, I should say, but it was a spark of hope for happiness, for peace, for comfort. But guess what? That spark was quickly dissipated. Why? Because it turned sexual. So I recognized the intimacy that I desired being met, and then it was sexual, and then it was gone. So if we can establish relationships with people, the ones that don't think like us, believe what we believe, dress like us, look like us, those people, and we can offer them intimacy without expectation, just like the correctional officer did with me in prison. He offered me that intimacy without expectation. He was the first man in my entire life that I ever knew truly loved me and didn't want anything from me. That's what moved me. That's what took me to the whole, to the next level of even seeking his face. And so when I say that what we see now within the government, right, and I'm talking about local, state, federal, everywhere, is we see a lot of people pushing back against the trans queer cult. But they're setting themselves up for failure because they're locking arms with the homosexual movement. They have the church and the American people have wholeheartedly accepted homosexuality as an orientation. Amen. And listen, homosexuality is not the opposite of heterosexuality. There is no opposite to heterosexuality. It is our design. It is our God-given design. Just because we misunderstand desires or they're twisted doesn't mean that it creates a whole new sexuality. But the opposite of homosexuality is freed, saved, redeemed, righteous. That's the opposite of homosexuality. That's the opposite of every sin, right? Because it's not a lifestyle, it's a death style, because no sin leads to life. All sin leads to death. So it's a death style. But what we see, and I tell people all the time, even Christians, just had a conversation yesterday, a Christian shared a meme on social media that Gays Against Groomers had created and put out. And I said to them, I says, you know, you just weakened your argument by posting what you posted because it was created by Gays Against Groomers. Well, did you read it? It was so good. Well, you don't have to read it. It doesn't have to be so good because guess what? Gays Against Groomers, that entire organization, they actually have one, trans identified people in their organization. Two, the majority of their organizations, the ones that head up all of their chapters, are on OnlyFans and other pornographic websites. They're creating pornography and they're prostituting. So, hello, it's a perversion. They want to stand up against the trans queer cult, but they're petrified to stand up against the homosexual movement, and it's the same perversion.
Okay, so
we
so
Dave, have to recognize that.
Amen. For time's sake, Dave, folks, in my opinion, we're dealing with two things here. Okay, we're dealing with those who've already committed themselves to that lifestyle. And then more importantly to me, those who are being lured, groomed into that lifestyle. So David, if you could open up to us right in front of us, how young kids, even in our churches, in our schools, youth groups, Cub Scouts, how's that evil movement grooming young children, David? To me, that's my concern. I would like to see grown men come out of homosexuality.
Exactly. And I get that totally. So Spencer, I sent you a link for a video that's like just under 3 minutes. And I would love us to watch that because it really explains, it'll really tell you. And this is just me at the state house, which is what we should all be doing.
Amen.
I spent 30 years, over 30 years, in the LGBTQIA trans, queer, gender, rainbow movement. And over 20 of those years, I was a transgender woman.
Send it to the screen, please.
I also stand before you a registered sex offender. I was shown explicit materials in pornography as a child. I was targeted, desensitized with the very materials that this bill has been created to eliminate. Presenting children with sexual materials will create sexualized children. Please take it from me, because I know all about being groomed. I know all about being victimized, sex trafficked, and criminalized by the adults in my life that I was supposed to be able to trust and confide in. I also know all about grooming and victimizing the weak and the vulnerable, because I was a victim that re-victimized. I spent many years as a victim of sex trafficking, being conditioned to become an agent for the very ones that used, abused, and trafficked me. Children are being targeted, And I don't know if anyone heard me, but I said children are being targeted. And does anyone care is my question always. Can we not see the dangers of allowing explicit materials in classrooms and in libraries? I was the child turned on by sexually explicit materials. I was the child that allowed adults to condition me. I was the victim that is sitting in the classroom this morning waiting for you all to make the right decision. These materials create sex offenders. These materials feed lusts and desires of sexually deviant men and women. How many educators in Maine have been charged with sex crimes against the child? One is too many, but there have been several over the years. And I don't care what you stand for. I don't care what you think about me. And I don't care about your feelings about my choice of words. What I care about is that we stop the assault on children. I care that we do not allow one more child to become a victim because of access to explicit materials in the classrooms or school libraries. I care that you all have some type of dignity and integrity when it comes to making the correct and moral decision. Please pass LD123. Are there any questions?
Of course not.
There's never any questions, right? But I think one of the things that we have to recognize is that while we want to protect the children, right, it is because of the same materials that are desensitizing and sexualizing children are doing the same thing to adults. And that is why we see so many adults crossing that line with sexualizing and sexualized children. That's why we see this. This is not a rare occurrence, and it's not nothing new. Okay. It's just that we get to see more of it because of the internet and communications. That's it. It's nothing new. I remember years ago when I infiltrated the NAMBLA forum. And for those who don't know what NAMBLA is, it's the National Association for Man Boy Love Association. And I infiltrated their forum on their website, and I read some of their testimonies. And I have to tell you, we're talking about 70, 80-year-old men, and this was years ago, that talked about how they were conditioned by their Boy Scout coach, by their gym teacher, and they were taken to hotel rooms, and there the butcher was there, and the postman, and the milkman, and
this the senator, is the congressman.
Yeah, this is nothing new. So they are targeting children by desensitizing them. They desensitize them. And so there's a whole slew of things, right? So are we sacrificing our children by sending them somewhere else to be educated? Of course we are. The Department of Education needs to be closed, but it needs to be completely shut down, not left up to the states, because the states can't be trusted either. We see that.
Okay, David,
look at Maine.
So, David, this shows us that what's going on with Diddy is real. What's going on with Epstein Island is real. This stuff is real, going on, being controlled by those who are already, folks, whether you want to admit it or not, demonically addicted to this heinous sexual crime, right?
Yes.
And positions of power. That's what the whole Diddy thing was all about, is what? They caught people. That's what Epstein Island was about. They caught people in compromising situations, and then they owned them. Right, Dave?
Yep. And see, and that's what it is. So what did they do? Everyone's waiting for the Epstein files, right? What did they do? They release 80,000 pages of the JFK files. You know, it's like, can we distract people anymore with anything else? You know, I mean, look right there in Ohio. I sent you the link, I think yesterday, where a judge completely put a stop to the SAFE Act, right? Allowing transgender surgeries on children. So what a lot of people don't even grasp is that all of this is irreversible damage. So as soon as a child starts puberty blockers and or wrong sex hormones, they are chemically sterilized. Okay. Does that have anything to do with depopulation and not being able to continue to procreate?
Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman, yeah, right? That's
exactly. This is what we are up against. And this isn't about if we're going to share a meme, right, from somebody, but we have to stop locking arms with and stop being afraid to speak the truth. When somebody says, hey, do you want to go down to this rally? They've got this they have this lesbian speaking up against the trans movement. No, I don't want to see a perverted person trying to stand up against another perverted person. I want to see Christians stand up and go speak out and say, look, you're perverted no matter what you are.
Okay, David. So, David, so hang on. How have they become so powerful?
Oh, so
David, the truth be told, homosexuals are afraid to straighten out for fear of being assaulted by other homosexuals, right?
Yes.
Politicians are afraid to say anything about it because they're going to be assaulted by the homosexual movement. How have they become so powerful?
And not even just assaulted by them, right? But there've been many of them are being blackmailed by them because they have so much on them. But what you also have to know is that some of them are just as perverted, right? So, and I remember Judith Reisman said to me years ago, she said, David, she's like, we are less likely to stand up against perversion if we are enveloped or saturated in perversion. And I look back at my days when, and I even have on my blog, there is one of my blogs called, and Rob Pugh put it in the Wisconsin Christian News. It's called Former Trans Prostitute Exposes Trans Queer Agenda. And so I think about that and I go back to that. And a lot of the people that were my clientele, right, were judges, lawyers, politicians, actors, CEOs, drug dealers, citizens. But these were the men that would come and take off their three-piece suit and have on their wife's lingerie or a garter belt. And how many judges, this is what I ask people all the time, how many judges are sitting up on the bench wearing panties under their robe? They're perverted. How many teachers are wearing panties or something lingerie-ish under their suit as they're caressing a child's shoulder or back? I mean, this is the things that we have to think about, because this is how they've gotten so much legal and societal protection, because the lawmakers, the judges have been perverted. Do we not see that with judges stopping a bill that would protect children from being butchered and mutilated?
David, how about this? Dale Sosha just sent this. You can't see it. Ohio court overturns ban on puberty blockers for minors.
Yeah, that's the link I sent you yesterday. Yep. Has to do with giving children puberty blockers, which, again, chemically sterilize them, stops their brain growth, stops their bone growth, stops them from developing mentally, emotionally.
You can't even give a kid a beer. You can't even give a kid a beer.
That's David, right.
Let me move on here. Folks, two things. One of the reasons, let's open it up for them. So we got about 12 minutes left here. Open it up for questions. Hey, folks, one of the reasons I have David on is because he needs expenses to get from Maine to Rob Pugh's event coming up here in a couple of weeks. Now, David doesn't know this. I've committed to paying David's expenses. And I've just asked you right now if you guys would help me pay David's expenses to get up there. All right. I'm sure Rob's going to help take care of all that stuff. But, David's message is really, really, really important. So if you'd like to just go to Coach Dave Live and make a $10 donation. Look, if we got 50 of you to give $10, we'd be able to cover David's expenses to get up there and back. So that's really what I'm asking you to do. All right. Just go to Coach Dave Live and throw 10 bucks in there, and we'll take that burden off of his shoulders. Jeff Klein, come on in.
And I just want to say one thing is that Berean made a statement that Chloe Cole said that's really important. The children, what they're doing right now is they're creating lifelong medical and mental health customers.
Amen.
Not patients, customers.
Jeff Klein.
David, I love you, brother. Glad you're back. You know, and I can say this much. I've known David since the beginning, 11 years ago when he came to Ohio and lived in my house. Yeah. Just different things we have been through over the years. I'm always learning something from David. I'm sitting here this morning thinking about this. It's, you know, you talk about them gays for groomers and all that stuff. I can't team up with them. So I thought about this. Coach, you'd understand this. 25 years I've been coaching kids. What do we always do as a coach? You teach them, hey, little Johnny, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal. You could do that. We could teach a kid how to not lie, cheat, and steal, and they would listen. Go up and talk to a 10-year-old about LGBTQ. It is hard. It is tough. And I'm always like, how do I get this kid out of this corrupt lifestyle? Oh, I know. I'm going to talk to my brother, David. And he gives us so much information. We need to feed off of that. It's just like the last time he's at the garage a couple weeks ago. The enemy reared its ugly head on me all day long, calling me and cussing me out. Well, about 7 or 8 years of church in the garage have never had that. They didn't care if we did church in the garage. But, boy, we do something like that, have David Arthur, and, oh, man, they're attacking me. So he's going to be back on April 1st in the garage. So I'm going to get geared up and put the armor on because they'll attack again. But I just love having him. So anybody locally, April 1st, David will be in for more questions. The people that were in the garage last time, a couple of them older people, they loved it. Amen. They took it back to our church. Now Pastor Matt said he'll be there next Tuesday when you're there on the 1st because he wants to hear you. He wants to get you in a church. So we got some more coming this time. So we got
all right. So David, what do we look for? How do we spot grooming? Groomers, what do we look for?
Well, you don't have to look for anything. Just don't send them to the public government system, right? Don't allow them to go to the sect, these doctors and these therapists and everything. If you want to protect your babies, then you had better plan to be with your babies, to teach your babies, to train your babies up in the way in which they should go. You know, what's really important about that passage in the scripture is in its original text, it means dedicate. You better be ready to dedicate your babies to the Lord God Almighty. That's the only way that they can be trained up in the way in which they should go, if they will never depart from it. We have to tell them the truth. They have to know that this is a perversion and that it is wrong. They have to understand that they can have a same-sex intimate relationship that has no expectations beyond what a father and a son should have.
So, David, if we say, so David, the people out there saying, well, look, we don't live in the big city. We live out here in Millersville, and we don't have any of that stuff in our public schools. What would you say to that, David?
That they absolutely do. That's a lie from the pit of hell. There is no public or charter school that does not have some form of this agenda in its curriculum or within its walls. Okay, whether it be a perverted teacher, that because it all started out with the teachers doing secretly things. Yeah. So, and then it just blew up. And now guess what? The teachers can do whatever they want because the teachers truly believe it's their children. I helped a young man a couple years ago come out of transgenderism. He worked for an organization here in Maine called Out Maine. Out Maine was handing teachers, counselors, and anyone involved with the schools, educators, handing them envelopes of cash to attend their seminar in how to keep parents out of the loop, how to trans children, how to pervert, target, desensitize, sexualize, criminalize, victimize, and weaponize children against the church. Basically,
David, they recruit better than the church recruits, don't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But why? Because they're dedicated to it. They're dedicated to it. Just like the occult, and Tom Dunn can tell you all about this. Just like the occult, when they want to cast a spell on an area or a certain building, It is a ritual. They go to all four corners. They spend days doing this. But what do? Christian drive through a town. Oh, drive by prayers. We got to pray for this town. And as we're passing through, Lord, please touch this town. We have to get more involved. And we can't get more involved if we don't get more informed.
Amen. So David, the truth of the matter is Christianity, not welcome in school, homosexuality, transgenderism, part of the curriculum in schools. Am I wrong there, David?
Everywhere. Every single school. There is no such thing as not in our school. Amen. There's no such
Elijah.
Thing.
Let's get Elijah in here. Come on in, Elijah.
Amen.
Gotta unmute yourself. All of you met.
Morning. There? Good morning, everybody. My name is Elijah from Maryland. I got invited today by Sister Ann. So I love your powerful testimony, Brother David. Thank you for sharing it. Everything you said is a point, because it's good to dedicate. It's good to have a godly parents and to dedicate their children to the Lord, because it's Proverbs 22 verse 6 and say, train up your child in the way he should go. When he's old, he should depart from it. So for me and my background, I can share a little short, but I was a trans, and I got delivered from homosexuality by the grace of God. And I never grew up with a godly family. And I know my mother raised me as an awesome mom, but my dad, he molested me twice, and it's not hard. And the Lord had to heal me. And I definitely forgive him. And everything you said is a point. So I just want to thank you for sharing your powerful testimony. And we give God the glory. The Bible says 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things pass away and all that become new. So just continue to stay strong, Brother David. And hallelujah. Yep, the devil's a liar.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Elijah. And I put my email in the chat for you. Keep in touch, man. Keep
so,
in
David, touch, would I be wrong, David? Rochelle, get right with you. Would I be wrong to say this, David? Like me, so man's two greatest desires is to eat and have sex. When it gets right down to it, that's what it comes down to, right? So right. I don't know about you guys. I've been dealing with gout. I've been telling you that. Do you have any idea how strong the urge is to go eat a candy bar? Do you have any idea? Even though I know I shouldn't do it, the urge is still there to get it. David, how do you deal with the fact that the urge for that intimacy is still there? How it's just like, right? It's like a diet. It's like, no,
it I is. And you know what? It really right now it's having a reverence. I have a whole new reverence, a whole new level of reverence for the ministry that God entrusted me with, because he brought me back again, right? And so I just have a whole new reverence for it, and I completely understand it. My thing was I didn't practice what I preached at the time, right? I was bombarded with things, and I kept it to myself, and I fell. But what we have to do right now is know that we have to be strong, look to him, pray, and deny those things. What do you think? Listen.
You can't eat the chocolate, dude.
Yeah. Jesus said, get ye behind me, Satan, to one of his disciples.
Let me get Rochelle in here, Dave, real quick. Come on in, Rochelle.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, David. Your testimony is just amazing. Me and my mama donated last time to you to help you buy a car, and you've been on our prayer list ever since. We've actually started praying for the entire homosexual LGBT community. And I'm just wondering if there's anything you can say to people like me, fellow victims. Every time this stuff comes up in the news with Epstein and the government and how this is being covered up, it's like a smack in the face.
Yes.
Because just like you, my perpetrators were never brought to justice. And to live with it, it's almost like you can hide it away until it's in the news every single day and everyone is ignoring this. Does this bother you like it bothers me? Is there more work that I need to do, or is this a normal type of reaction?
Great question, Rochelle.
Well, you know what? It is actually a normal type reaction. However, it does bother us, and it does eat away at us sometimes, and we do want to see justice. So what we have to do is reframe that into what we're doing. Like what I go to the state house to the school board meetings, and that's how I reframe that emotion or those drives. I reframe them into actually standing up, speaking out, and pushing back. And that's what we have to do. We have to do it. It's imperative for rescuing children. And so some people say, well, yeah, all this trans stuff is going to end soon. Well, in the meantime, there are babies being chemically castrated, chemically sterilized, that are being butchered. We have girls that are 12 and 13 years old having healthy breasts chopped off their bodies. Children are being sexualized and abused, victimized, trafficked in the meantime. David, so yeah, we do have to push back. And let me say that on my website, on the resources tag, there in the resources tab, there is kind of much like a template on one, how to pray for them, but two, how to actually witness to these victims. And just imagine the more victims of this cult that we can help pull out of the cold, reaching into the flames, right? Whether we get burned or not, but reaching into the flames, the more we can yank out, the more children that will not be recruited.
David, we got to go, man. We're already over the limit, folks. If you want to continue the conversation, go to CoachDaveLive.com, log in there. We have an after show and you can be part of it. David, thanks for being there. Sit right there, brother. I'll be right with you.
Thanks for having me, Coach.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.